Welcome to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Majeure, and we're on location in Everett, Michigan at the original Dulcimer Players Club. I have my co-host today is Brian Burchett. He's the president of ODCP. Again, that is the original Dulcimer Players Club. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm looking forward to doing this event with you. This is the first time I've been here, and we're bringing our listeners virtually along.
This is the first time I've been on Strong Tower Radio.
First for everyone. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll start into this program. Our Father in Heaven, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to explore with other people of interest who love music, and we're here on location at the original Dulcimer Players Club Fun Fest. Be with us and help us to uplift you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Brian, what is the original Dulcimer Players Club Fun Fest?
The Fun Fest is an acoustic music festival. It's sponsored by the Dulcimer Club, original Dulcimer Players Club. And obviously we have a lot of hammer dulcimers here. Now, for folks who don't necessarily know what a hammered dulcimer is, it's an instrument that looks like a trapezoid. It has lots of strings, and you strike the strings with small wooden mallets that we call hammers. And if you've ever looked inside a piano, when you press the piano key, there are these interconnected levers that eventually have a hammer inside the piano strike the piano string. So we're essentially doing that, but there aren't all these mechanical levers. It's us who strike the strings. Certainly people can look up and get really good pictures and videos online to learn more about it. Come to our website, everdulcimerfest.org, and you'll learn a lot more about it. That's the festival. Although it's sponsored by the Dulcimer Club, it is not exclusively for dulcimers. It's intended to preserve the richness of the dulcimer musical tradition, but we love our guitar players, we love our fiddle players, we love our banjo players, our ukulele players, our mandolin players, our bowed psaltery players, our bass players, and so on and so on and so on. Anyone who plays an acoustic instrument is welcome here, and we offer workshops for all those instruments.
What is the environment of the people? And I've been here 24 hours, and so I'm getting that. But I want to check with you, what is the people who come? What is the tenor of the event? And what are people saying about this event?
So we're a Michigan nonprofit organization, so we have a large percentage of our members are Michiganders, but we have people who are involved in the club from lots of different states and from Canada and other parts of the world. Probably about a third of our festival attendees are club members, and probably two-thirds of the people who come here are people who are involved in our community in one way or another, or they're coming to listen to evening concerts. Some people may be more spectators than musicians. There are lots of different types of festivals. Quite common for festivals to be a place where you go to be an audience member. This is a players festival, and so you'll go to sleep listening to music, you'll wake up listening to music, and you'll have the opportunity to play music with a lot of different people throughout the day and the evening.
So the word organic comes to mind, organic music.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe kind of the folk music tradition. And I would say that in the broad folk music tradition, that's where we fall. Some people would describe the music we play as old-timey, but that can be a subgenre. There's also Celtic music that's played here, and sometimes you'll hear bluegrass tunes. They sound a little different on the hammer dulcimer than they do on a banjo, but they still sound good.
Tell us about this event. How many days is it, and what does it start from sunrise to sunset?
So officially, the this is a 3-day festival. It starts on a Thursday. It always starts on the Thursday before the Saturday of the first full weekend in July. That's a complicated way to say it. It's usually the third weekend in July, but not always.
So you need to go to your website to confirm the date.
But it's a 3-day festival, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's also worth pointing out that a lot of us come prior to the festival. We have what we kind of call pre-festival activities, and those are very organic. Those are people just get together and they jam together. They may sit down next to each other and say, can you show me how you do that?
Well, the young people call that hangout, isn't it?
I haven't been a young person for quite a while. And so during the festival proper, we have scheduled workshops, we have evening concerts, but there's still a lot of organic things that happen. And I think that's partly what you experienced when you were walking around the fairgrounds and listening to people gathering in their campsites playing music together.
Maybe the word is extemporaneous.
I think it's all of that. Yeah.
Well, you know, we happen to have other people that we're going to have on this particular program, and one of them is Pam Bauman. Tell me a little bit about Pam that you know, and then Pam will tell about herself.
Well, Pam is originally from Marion, Michigan, I believe, and grew up not too far from Everett. And she is, I guess we would, she is one of our local musicians, although she certainly travels widely. She travels all over the country to do workshops and concerts. But I think one of the things that we love about Pam is we can feature people who grew up here, because this club was founded in this area. So it's important, I think, for the roots of the club that we maintain those connections, right? Now, I don't know if you'll keep this in the final version, but I also know Pam through her husband Todd, because Todd and I went to high school together. So there's a little bit of a connection there too. Pam is known for her arranging of hymns and other music. Her arrangement of hymns, it's very, very beautiful. She's also known to play fast. And so there are times when she really gets going on that dulcimer. And if people ever get the chance to come in here and play, there's some excitement when Pam plays.
Well, listeners, we're in Everett, Michigan at the Fun Fest, the original Dulcimer Players Club. We're actually on the stage that faces the grandstand where each night there is a program. What time does that start?
6:30.
Great. Pam, tell us about your experiences here at the Dulcimer Festival. How long have you been participating?
Well, I bought my first dulcimer in January of 92, and then proceeded to go to the local Everett club that used to be here, the Hartwick Highlanders, and that, you know, of course, they encouraged me to go to the Fun Fest, and I did. So the first one was 1992. Just about 6 months after we were married. So, and I've been coming ever since, consecutively, so.
Give us a feeling for what the festival, Fun Fest, means to you.
Oh, you know, it didn't take long to realize that it was like a I always describe it as a family reunion where you all like to do the same thing. You know, and the music is the key, and it brings so many different people together, you know, of different economical backgrounds, different faiths, but you kind of bridge everything that there is with the music, you know, and that's the common core, and it's I always tell people it's the only 2 weeks of the year I know where I'm going to be, Lord willing, you know. So is the Everett Fun Fest. We start camping. My bunch, the group I play with a lot, we start camping around the 4th of July. This year it was July 1st because that was the first Saturday. So,
you know, my wife describes the Fun Fest is, for many of our listeners, go to what they call camp meeting, and she calls it the camp meeting for musicians.
Oh, that's, yeah.
I think that's a good way to describe it. You know, when the club approached the fairgrounds like 50 years ago about having the festival here, Woodstock had happened, and Woodstock was on people's minds, and the fairgrounds didn't want
another Woodstock.
And so we've always emphasized the family-friendly nature of this.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
We state very clearly that, you know, this is a no alcohol, no drugs festival. We want it to be a place where families feel comfortable and where children can experience what Pam experienced. Pam, one of the things I've noticed whenever you play, whether it's here at Everett or anywhere else, you're always very intentional about giving thanks to God for your gift of music. And I was wondering if you could just tell the listeners a little bit more about how you see music and faith and how they're connected for you.
Well, I've been musical of sorts from a young age, and it's always been important to me. I guess I didn't realize, you know, how important it was to me at a young age, because I'm kind of backing up a little bit here, but when we would go to my aunt's house in Missouri, for instance, she played the piano. And after Thanksgiving or whatever, we'd go around, she'd say, okay, let's go play and sing. And I'm jumping up and ready, and I'd look at my cousin and say, come on, you guys, we're gonna sing. And they would be going, oh, like, you know, exhausted looks on their face. And I'm like, you know, I just thought that everybody would wanna go and sing around the piano, you know, so. But I do believe it's a God-given, I mean, everybody has that God-given talent to sing or desire music. With myself, I truly believe that God led me to play the hammer dulcimer. I've played the guitar since I was a kid, but I play the dulcimer a lot better. It was my niche, my whatever he put in me, you know, to come out on the hammer dulcimer. I have a couple stories about purchasing my first one and other things that I believe, you know, God led me to play it, you know. If you'd have told me I'd be doing this when I first started, I really couldn't ever envision. I just love the sound. I love the percussionist of it, the percussion end of it where you're beating on it. And when I was in band in high school, I played the clarinet, and I'd asked my band director at one time, can I play the drums? Although I know I'd have missed the melody line, you know. And she says, no, we have 10 drummers, you know, we need you in the clarinets, you know, and that was fine. But then I bugged my mother to buy me a snare drum, and she did. So I got off in this end of the house that she can't hear, you know, and I would just beat away on that snare drum, cadences and things I would hear from high school. And then one day I went, why am I doing this? I'm never gonna play the drums in any fashion. But God knew, you know, those drumming practices led a lot of the really, you know, up there, whatever, high-end players were percussionists before,
right.
You know.
So people like Bill Osler, Colin Beasley, and
Dan Landrum,
and they were drummers who came to the instrument and bring all that experience of rhythm and the percussive rudiments, and then it makes for a very rich musical style on the hammer dulcimer.
Pam, what roles do you play here at the Fun Fest?
Oh, well, mainly, you know, the pre-festival is my relaxed time where I'm jamming and you know, getting to reacquaint with whoever comes and talking. During the festival, I do quite a few workshops. I used to do 8, and I cut it down to 6. I'm getting older. And I have a booth, a vending booth, where I sell everything related to hammer dulcimers, even hammer dulcimers. And I have my books that I've written. I have 2 all gospel books with hammered arrangements in it, and a just a regular, you know, dulcimer type arrangements of dulcimer music like Red Wing and things like that, you know. I do have a particular tab that lends people to know how to place their hands, hammer pattern on the hammer dulcimer.
If I could just jump in, tab or tablature is a way of notating music without obligating someone to learn all the dots on all the lines for treble and bass clef. So it's an alternative musical notation system.
Right, yeah.
And on the hammer dulcimer, why is it important that you have a tab?
Well, the reason I developed it is because I didn't, and I give credit to the other tabs out there, but they didn't lend themselves well to me. So I wanted something very visual. So my particular tab, if you see the note written in a certain font style, you play it on the left. Or if it's in a regular font, you're playing on the right side of the treble bridge, because you play on both sides of the treble bridge. And then there's a bass bridge that you only play on one side. So if you see a bold black font, you play it on the bass bridge. So that kind of helps them to know where I'm finding these notes, and people seem to like it well.
The dulcimer is an instrument where you kind of have to learn the geography of the instrument, so it's not enough to just go up or down or right or left. Sometimes you're going diagonally.
Yeah.
And so Pam's notation system tells you what note to play, but it also tells you whether you're in the upper left or lower right quadrant of the instrument. So.
You know, it makes one thing with Pam being here, you do arrangements. What I observed is, you know, the music world, the commercial music world, you're a long distance from the arranger, and once in a while you see the performer, but you see the whole gamut. You're actually seeing this. Some of them are actually developing music. They're in the middle of doing it. It's in the process. You're getting really close to the source of music.
So I think that just like in lots of musical traditions, you have standards that people play, and then people have like arrangements that they work hard on and they play as they've arranged. But I think maybe what you've started to hear is that some people are very improvisational with their playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some people who just, they just make arrangements on the fly.
And that's fun.
Yeah. It is.
It's a very welcoming environment to all levels of experience. Some people come here for inspiration to take it to the next level. Probably most of them do, whether they're novices or middle, intermediate, or very accomplished musicians.
I think everybody's goals, everyone wants to play well. Some people aspire to great heights. And other folks, they value playing with other people more than becoming a virtuoso.
Yeah.
And so I think the meaning of music for many people who are here is that it is a community of musicians. And
yes,
you're not just trying to be the greatest soloist in the world,
mm-hmm,
but you're playing with other people. And in playing with other people, there's something very rich about that music. Even if it's technically simple, it's rich in other ways.
Wow.
Well said. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Pam. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
You're one of several guests that we have here on the program. You're listening to Strong Tower Radio, and we're at the Fun Fest in Everett, Michigan, the original Dulcimer Players Club. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Brian, we talked briefly about COVID and community. You've done a little research on this, and how does that affect the Fun Fest and the community of dulcimer players?
the COVID experience interrupted a lot of music festivals. It made it hard for professional musicians who suddenly lost their source of income. But what we found really interesting here at Everett, again, if we talked about the organic nature of this festival and this club. In 2020, we still had about 100 people show up here at the fairgrounds in Everett and essentially hold a people's festival. And it was almost like going back in time to the very early days of the original Dulcimer Players Club. And a similar thing happened in 2021. We had more people in 2021, the vaccine was out, COVID hesitancy was down a little bit, and so we probably had 200 or 250 people who showed up in 2021. And again, it was very organic, very spontaneous, and felt like we were back in the early days of the club. And that was really quite nice. Yeah. I think that, you know, you and I have talked outside of this interview when we've just been hanging out, but I think that when I think about community, I think that one of the things that a musical community like this, a club, provides is it provides a way for people to come together, get acquainted, learn to trust each other, form genuine friendships, and it doesn't matter how people vote or how they worship, and those differences at times they really drive us apart, and I think it hurts the community of the United States as well as other countries. I think other countries may be experiencing similar things too, the way the social media algorithms divide us up into small subsets of people. That might not have been as short as you wanted.
But this music is bringing us together. And our next guest is Caitlin Boss.
Caitlin is, we interviewed Pam a few minutes ago. Caitlin is someone who studied under Pam Bowman. And she's from McBain, Michigan, which is not too far away from Everett.
We probably need to describe where Everett and McBain, we have listeners across the whole state of Michigan. Help me out here. We have Big Rapids. It's north of Big Rapids.
That's right.
Which is kind of on the western, a little bit northern side. I call it the gateway to the north.
Sure. Sometimes some people are familiar with the Michigan Lakeshore. So sometimes I will say, if you find Ludington, Michigan, on the map, which is a very common, very popular summer destination for tourists, and you jump on US 10 and you head east about an hour, you'll find yourself in Everett.
Okay, great. Well, we do have Caitlin here, and she is, as you mentioned, a student and a prodigy, if you wish, of Pam. Tell us more about your experience here.
Well, Caitlin, maybe we should let you tell us your story about how you found the Dulcimer and how you found Pam Bowman and
okay. And
how you got to where you are now.
Well, actually, I first met Pam when I was learning the mandolin, and we went to hear her group Just Jam and Play because she is a mandolin player. And I watched her play Hammer Dulcimer, and I thought, wow, that's amazing. If I was going to play the Dulcimer, which I won't play the Dulcimer, but if I did, I'd want to play like that. And so it was probably 2 years later when we came to the festival actually for a mandolin class that I went to the Dulcimer for Future Players class by Jim Key. The light bulb went off. And since I knew Pam and she lived nearby, I said, hey, I'm interested in learning. Can you help me find a Dulcimer? So, and God miraculously provided one through somebody else she knew that was actually in my budget because I was 17 at the time and Masterworks aren't in a 17-year-old's budget.
Dulcimers are handmade, and they take a lot of time for a craftsperson to build a quality instrument. And so even a beginner model can be a bit of a challenge. There are always used instruments on the market,
yeah. And
there are some builders now that build student instruments.
Yeah. But and I think she did have the Pioneer package, but even at that point, that was a little more because I just had odd jobs. So And I had looked at one, but she said that with the level I was playing at, because somebody let me borrow a 1312, and I started figuring out, and when I came from Les, she said, don't buy a 1312, you need a 1615, you'll outgrow the 1312 so fast, you'll just turn around and have to buy another instrument. So
some of the listeners might be wondering what all these numbers yes. mean. Caitlin, do you want to give them just a brief description of what you mean when you say a 1211 or yeah. or some other combination of numbers?
The first number refers to how many notes you have on the treble bridge, and the second number refers to how many notes you have on the bass bridge.
So in a way, it's telling you how many strings you have, or how big the musical range of the instrument is.
Yes.
Well, it kind of thinks you have a little kiddie's toy piano, has only so many keys.
That's right.
And then standard piano today has 88 keys, if I remember correctly.
I think that's correct, yeah.
And so the dulcimers likewise has different sizes, and the more options, the larger the range, the broader the sound yeah. spectrum, I assume.
Yeah.
When I started 11 years ago, there weren't a lot of builders building the extended range instruments where they have a third bridge. And so 1615 was kind of considered your standard full-size instrument. So,
yeah.
And I was able to stay on that for 10 years before I finally did upgrade.
So Caitlin, much like Pam, you're from this area.
Yes.
And this club and this festival started here.
Yeah.
So we're always interested in that local connection. But you're also someone who sees music and your Christian faith as tightly connected.
Yes.
Would you mind telling folks a little bit about how you see music and your faith? How does one inspire the other? Yeah.
Well, to be honest, as a musician, a lot of people think music comes very easily to me, and it doesn't. So it's an amazing gift from God that I can even do music in the first place. I've had to work very hard to do music, and so I see that as a gift from Him, and He's placed so many people, so many things in my path to allow me to become a musician and do that, and I just think He deserves all the honor and glory from that. And if I can just point somebody to Him through my music, because music makes you think, and it gives you an avenue to get it across to somebody, and it doesn't come across as offensive, or they just see it as I'm presenting what's important to me. Like in the song I did last night, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I want everybody to turn their eyes upon Him, especially when this world is so dark and He's the light of the world. I want to be, even if just a little tiny light through the music, if I can bring that to somebody else, that's just incredibly important to me, so.
That was a really nice arrangement.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of work. I actually originally did it for a friend of mine who was a voice major. And I accidentally didn't realize that he was a baritone and not a tenor. So we reworked that. So that was actually his arrangement, but he wasn't able to be here, so I wanted to be able to sing it instead.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much, Caitlin, for yes. being a part of our program. And we wish you success in your ministry with music.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you so much, every person who has been a part of this interview today. And until next time, I'm your host, Tom Bajur, for Strong Tower Radio. God bless. Bye now.